please.
Auntie Fatima, I need to know the carats and weight of each item of your jewelry to do a proper calculation.
Well, I'm sure that all my jewelry is 22 carat, and I can use my kitchen scale to weigh it.
Oh no, Auntie Fatima. I think it's better if we take it to a reputable jeweler first. After all, you don't want to underpay, do you?
May Allah bless you. You are always teaching me new things. Shukran.
Pay your zakat. It's the right thing to do.
This message was brought to you by the South African National Zakat Fund. Call 0861-SANZAF at 0861-726-923.
Because charity begins at home.
You're listening to The French Connection on CII.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and it is the most important discussion I think I've ever engaged myself in. Ladies, it's great to have all three of you here with me, and I know that Nancy Banks knows Jennifer Lake through her efforts to bring out these facts, and I'm glad that you're with me, Jennifer. I'm going to go back to you, Dr. Carley. We're looking at a worldwide epidemic of disease. And there is a disease on our horizon that I would like all three of you maybe to respond to. I said some time ago that bird flu would make a comeback, and I knew that that first introduction of bird flu or avian flu was just a precursor to another introduction they would be making. Now, why did I believe that? I believed it because billions and billions of dollars and euros in each individual country were being pumped in to their quarantine system, their legal system. They were changing laws to fit the control of populations, both in the United States, France, Germany, across the globe, in preparation for bird flu. And I knew that this was they wouldn't spend hundreds of billions worldwide. I mean, literally, almost $1 trillion worldwide in preparation for this next phase. Recently, ladies, a memo came out from Japanese companies telling their top executives to prepare for a worldwide epidemic of avian flu around the month of September. Now, they demanded that all of their top executives return to Japan in advance of this outbreak. Now, here's the interesting thing. We're not talking about bird flu here because this stuff has the all of the hallmarks of a hemorrhagic or Marburg type of bleeding virus from the lungs and the rest of it. This is a man-made disease, and Dr. Carley, I'm going to go back to you on this. They dug up a guy up in Alaska, didn't they, and did research on him, and they found out that some of the stuff that was in that original Spanish flu seems to be finding its way into this H5N1. Am I correct?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, the Spanish flu, of course, is not Spanish and it's not the flu. It was a basically a concoction of viruses that were inoculated into soldiers in World War I. That was the first war in which all soldiers had to be inoculated. And it morphs within the human body, and it became this hybrid of this killer flu, which killed so many people, and it causes basically a hemorrhage into your lung where you drown in your own blood. And in fact, Army researchers from the Department of Pathology went to Alaska a few years ago and dug up some of these bodies, which were frozen, and recovered this viral material and brought it back here, and they've been playing with it ever since, and they also figured out the entire genetic sequence. Now, one has to wonder if they have our health, you know, truly in their minds and that it's the purpose of their investigations, why on earth would they open up a Pandora's box like that? And that's, in fact, what they did. And I'm convinced that this H5N1 virus that they're trying to scare everybody with is actually a virus. Perhaps it's got some of the bird flu material in it, but, in fact, I'm sure that they've combined it with that virus that was such a killer plague back in those days. And, in fact, it was recently released on February 27th, a offshoot of Baxter International, which is based in Illinois, sent it to 18 different countries with regular flu. And they're alleging that this was a mistake. And the only reason they found out that the bird flu virus was in there, or this weaponized version, was because they were injecting it into ferrets, and all the ferrets died. And the Canadian journalist who, basically broke this story was threatened, from what I understand. And so now the horse is already out of the barn. we have no idea if any of these people that were exposed to that package from Baxter are presently incubating this virus. But it's very interesting that a week later in Colorado, they had an emergency management summit conference, and I have a report about this from Citizens for Legitimate Government, where one of the speakers said, and I quote, be prepared to quarantine, be quarantined for months at a time. When you're talking to people, voice your appreciation for those in quarantine. Talk about how they're hometown heroes and doing what they need to be doing in order to protect the community. So there's no question in my mind. As a matter of fact, the CDC has been saying for a few years now, it's not a matter of if, but when. How do they know? Because they're going to do it.
I agree with that. I've looked at it. I knew that that first phase was just to pepper, to prepare the ground, if you will, to get the planting ready for this next phase of sickness that they've got to unleash. And I don't want to be a somebody going out there saying, you know, the sky is falling. I'm not Chicken Little. There's a great deal of evidence that points to all of the things that Dr. Carley just said and that I've just said. Dr. Banks, I'm going to go back to you on this. Now, you know, this does not bode well for rank-and-file humans, because most people are still believing that if they line up for a flu shot or some kind of vaccine shot, that they're going to be possibly saved from this, or they're going to get Tamiflu or some other thing that absolutely will not work. What is your take on this, and what do you believe the stages that we're in right now?
Well, I just like to leave people with a little bit of hope. First of all, leave the flu shots, definitely people should leave alone. They, you know, the recent research on vitamin D is really exciting. And I think one of the things that I did this winter is I really made sure that my vitamin D levels were where they should be, and I haven't had a cold or a sniffle the entire winter. And that's one of the problems with flu. It has to do with the amount of sun that you get. So that's the first thing. The other thing, there is a really important nutrient. It's called glutathione. But you can get it with another nutrient that you can take orally. It's called N as in Nancy, A as in apple, and C, N-A-C. And the important thing about that is that this is the master antioxidant, and it really helps to boost your immune system. And I really would like to get people to start thinking about what they can do to boost their immune system and to make themselves healthy. I really think they need to stay away from the vaccines, but you can boost your immune system naturally, and there's lots of information, and that's what I'd like to encourage people.
I wanted to get into that a little later, Dr. Banks, because I do believe solutions are certainly in our conversation today, because I don't want to leave people thinking that there's nothing they can do to stop the consequences of this. Dr. Carley, you brought up the fact that that these diseases are going to find their way into large populations. The Chinese market seems to be one of the main targets, as well as Indonesia and the Philippines, as well as India. And Egypt especially. I've been watching Egypt have a lot of this. It looks like they're going to main population centers to see if they can't get an outbreak started. Is that what you've been finding as well?
Of course, and how are they doing this? They're inoculating the birds with bird flu vaccine. And as a matter of fact, when they have these outbreaks of bird flu where they have to slaughter, you know, thousands and thousands of birds, in every case that I've seen on the mainstream media, when you read between the lines and listen carefully, you always find out that these birds were inoculated with bird flu vaccine. So that's how they're doing it initially. They're inoculating the birds with bird flu. They're putting them with humans in very unsanitary conditions so that the birds and the people's immune systems will be depleted. And, of course, I'm sure these people have been vaccinated with other viruses. And what happens is you get a combination when they're exposed to the bird flu virus and it goes into the people. If they've got viruses in them, then these viruses form hybrids. And that's how they're going to get the bird flu to become an infectious agent to humans. And I'm sure that's how they did it initially, and now they've got it perfected, and that's why they released it from Baxter. But I just want to mention quickly, colloidal silver is also another wonderful thing that people can do. The fact that the FDA is going after colloidal silver manufacturers to such a degree as they are now is very much proof to me that it must be extremely effective against the bird flu. So I definitely agree with Dr. Banks. We don't want people to be in the fear mode. The main things to do is to stay away from the vaccine and get your body as healthy as possible, and you should be fine.
Well, I'm going to go back to Jennifer on this now. Jennifer, you know, the history of the development of some of this, the disease components took their shape in the 30s, the 20s, 30s, and into the Second World War. What we saw is that certain individuals and certain groups were in charge of this Frankenstein research. And today what we see is, you know, the Sabin Institute, Salk, Scripps, they're all on board with their roots going back to this Rockefeller group, and many of them are headed up by a very important Zionist leadership here. Can you give us a little thumbnail on some of the things that your research has shown you in these connections?
Well, you know, I was looking specifically into polio and what happened there and how that became, the vaccine that has spread around the world. I think, you know, there's no vaccine that in our time, in our lifetime, that has been put into more people than a polio vaccine. And, the big picture of my story here is that I learned that this was part of nuclear development and that polio is a response. A polio virus is a natural response to being irradiated, and that this is a virus that will form within your intestines in order to help you deal with the damage of irradiation. So
Right. Given
that perspective, what I saw then with the whole polio vaccine development was this was completely under the wing of the U.S. military, and that when the Salk Institute was founded, and it was founded in Southern California, this is where I live, it's nearby here, they put the Cold Warriors who were at the top of the establishment on the board of directors of Salk. So it was fully integrated as a military organ. And I look at it as Operation Polio.
Well, did that morph into the CDC and the Institutes of Health and the rest of it after the war and into the 60s? And then, of course, what we see is the leadership role of that now was given over by Kissinger's white papers that went on that Dr. Carley actually spoke about earlier. It all has developed in almost a linear fashion from those origins. Am I correct?
Well, yeah, pretty much. The NIH came along in the 1930s, and then the CDC morphed out of the military surveillance for World War II, and they had set up a flu surveillance. In fact, our whole bioweapons program is called the Epidemiological Survey. And this was a surveillance program. It was part of every institution, every university, every hospital, every clinic. And this was a reporting system that just became the CDC after the war. So
what we've got now is this is now all of their ducks are in a row, if you want to accept that old adage. Now, it looks like we're going to become victims if we're not prepared. Now, the problem is, we're getting what we talked about in the beginning, Dr. Banks and Dr. Carley. Our immune systems, because of lifestyle, because of environment, because of food choices, of course, most of us are eating prepackaged foods and if you take a look at what's in some of these foods, they have high levels of nitrites in them, and if you eat bacon and smoked meats, you're finding that they pepper it with nitrites and different chemicals that are actually helping you to become a disease-bound individual. So basically, the people who are going to fall victim first to this are people who are living what is considered the 20th century, 21st century diet. Am I correct in saying that, Dr. Carley?
Yes, you certainly are. And obviously, that's what we need to get back to is an organic diet, growing your own vegetables and doing things of that nature. But I just want to bring something up in regards to what you were just asking about the different affiliations with these Zionist organizations. A listener to my internet radio show who used to work for the NIH and is now an independent journalist, actually did some research into this Baxter company that released the H5N1 virus to 18 countries and found out that their director, Gail Foster, has disturbing connections to powerful organizations, including the Council on Foreign Relations, high-level Chinese CCP leadership, and the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. So this is all very much tied in. But once again, people have to not be afraid. They just have to, you know, learn how to eat healthy, try to alkalinize themselves, eat an alkaline diet, high in green vegetables and things of that nature. Try to drink clean water, you know, take vitamin supplements because our soil has been depleted, as you were saying. There's also homeopathics that you can do against the bird flu. As a matter of fact, people in the 1918s that used homeopathy had a 85% survival rate compared to about a 5% survival of those who went for the vaccinations.
Have any of you, and I brought this up with Jennifer at a private call, have any of you heard of the thieves' broth using cinnamon? And people who worked in a cinnamon factory, none of them got sick with this. While everyone around them in their community was getting sick with flu, people who had been working with cinnamon did not get sick. And it's a very interesting thing because I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it must be have homeopathic potential there because these people were left unscathed by this virus.
Well, I don't know about homeopathic potential. I think it's nutritional. I mean, there's so many things in the kitchen cupboard that boost your immune system, like garlic and things of that nature. So homeopathy is a different entity, but the point is that there's spices, there's all kinds of things. There's essential oils, there's many things, and as Dr. Banks was saying, trying to get the exposure to the sun that you need, they're trying to scare us away from the sun, saying that the sun causes skin cancer. No, it's the sunscreens with all of these carcinogenic chemicals in them that's actually causing skin cancer. So we have to get exposure to the sun, we have to breathe clean air, we have to do all of these things, which are actually common sense. And the most important thing is not believe the alphabet agencies like the FDA and agencies like that in this country, which are supposed to keep the food quality safe. In reality, they're allowing all the poisons to slip through and going after the makers of supplements and natural things.
Well, ladies, we have a second break here for our advertisers. And then after that, we have a full run of the next hour to discuss some of these developments. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 3-minute break here and come right back. I'm going to ask my engineer to keep these lines open to these people because it might be difficult to reconnect with them if we cut them off. So we got a 3-minute break for our sponsors.
Voga Travels presents Umrah in March from only 9,999 rand per person sharing. This affordable package includes a return airfare from Johannesburg on Etihad Airways, 6 nights in Medina at the 4-star Medina Sofara Al Huda, 6 nights in Makkah Mukarrama at the 4-star Ilaf Ajiad Hotel, breakfast daily, Umrah visa handling fee for Saudi Arabia. The package excludes airport taxes. Limited availability, so call now on 031-202-0370. Terms and conditions apply. Voga Travels, expect the world of us.
Ever wondered what goes into a good point of sale? Here's your chance to comment about a good point of sale. CII and RapidSoft present to you the Possibility Best Business Point of Sale. Simply SMS your comments to 083-859-1786 or fax on 011-494-7029. Every day, Ibrahim Gangat will be choosing out one entry for the morning that's nominated your business and was pleased with your point of sale, while Siraj Basa will be doing the same in the afternoon on Outlook. The Possibility Best Business Point of Sale this March on CII, brought to you courtesy of RapidSoft South Africa.
The French Connection with Daryl Bradford Smith.
Every morning on every news flash, I hear the sorrow of the world. It seems like everybody's lost and scared, trying to make sense of it all. And as I travel to and fro, so many faces pass me by. I see lonely hearts living lonely lives, just biding their time. And while we call ourselves civilized, many people living empty lives as they drone their way through day and night. Every mother, every father, every daughter, every son, don't you see that the answer lies only with the One? I pray for our world. I pray for every child.
Every child.
I pray for our world to be filled with smiles, like the colors of a rainbow. And not just black and white. I pray for our world to be filled with light. I pray for all of us.
The French Connection with Daryl Bradford Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back for our second hour here on this most important of broadcasts. And of course, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It's great to have you all back with me for to join my guests, Dr. Nancy Banks, Dr. Rebecca Carley, and Jennifer Lake, a researcher from California. The course of discussion this evening for you, those of you who are just tuning in, is about vaccines and about the disease process and about the way we have all been fed a pack of lies over our lifetimes in accepting allopathic solutions that are not necessarily in the best interest of the people who become ill. I'm going to bring that up in our next little discussion here. But before I do that, I'd like to thank the CII staff for putting on this broadcast, for having the courage to stand behind me in my broadcast. I know that it's a challenge sometimes when they're being faced with threats from the South African Jewish Board of Deputies for me talking as I have and speaking the truth. However, they have shown courage, and they need to be applauded for that effort. That being said, let's go back to my guests and get back into this discussion. I want to go back to Dr. Banks right now. Dr. Banks, we see an outbreak, they're saying an outbreak of AIDS hitting Washington, D.C. Now, what in your view is this all about? I mean, of course, knowing
that... one of the things that's happening now, and people have to understand, I call it the tyranny of medicine. They are developing all kinds of tests. The tests don't necessarily do what they say. For example, the HIV test is an antibody test for nonspecific antibodies. For example, one of the antibodies, if you go to the CDC website, they will say that the P24 protein is specific for HIV. However, the P24 protein is a protein that everybody has in all of our cells. It's called actin. It's part of what is called the cytoskeleton. It's the protein that holds our cells together. So when people are oxidized, they're not healthy. Their cells have a higher turnover, so there's more of these proteins in their, you will find more of these proteins, these antibodies, in their blood because they're autoantibodies. The same thing that Dr. Carley was talking about these autoimmune diseases. When people are sick, you get more autoantibodies for the reasons that we were discussing. So what they're talking about in D.C. is not that people have AIDS. People have, they're having these positive tests. But the problem with D.C. is that, number one, D.C. has probably more drugs than just about any place. A lot of drugs come into D.C., and there's a high relationship, especially crack cocaine, is very toxic, and it shifts the immune system to that type 2. The second thing is that they require all these kids to take vaccines to go to school. And the third thing is, when I first came to the D.C. area about 5 or 6 years ago, they were having a problem. They had the highest lead level in their water. Now, they're not talking about it now, but they claim that they put something in the water to decrease the lead level. But as you probably know, that lead is a heavy metal. And, of course, heavy metals are going to give you cellular damage. So what you're talking about is that the people in D.C. are stressed. That is what you're seeing. But it's a psychological operation, because now if you tell people that they have a blood and sex virus, then they're going to take these horrible drugs, which are going to harm them even further. And when they do get ill, they'll say, okay, they're dying because of AIDS, not because they took the heart or the other drugs that actually are now killing them more, because the people aren't dying of the classic AIDS diseases. Now they're dying of liver failure and heart failure and, you know, all the other things that come with taking the drugs. So that's what's going on in Washington, D.C.
I'm going to go to Dr. Carley on this. But Dr. Carley, when you were practicing medicine in New York and working in the trauma field, you came in contact with other allopaths, other doctors who believed that the protocols of medicine that were being shared amongst the professional doctors was the right course of action to take. When you found out that may not be true, and was this an awakening other doctors were having, and are they afraid to take action in face of this? I mean, each doctor supposedly took an oath not to do any harm, but if we're giving poisons to people that are going to exacerbate conditions they already have, we're certainly doing harm. So where is the medical profession in here? And I'm going to go to Dr. Banks after this, but Dr. Carley, where is the medical profession in the face of this information?
Unfortunately, the medical profession has sold their soul for cash. As you mentioned, my son was brain damaged from vaccines. He wasn't diagnosed with autism because I reversed it before it ever got to that point, but that's when I started investigating this situation. And that was 12 years ago. At this point, many doctors know that they're doing the wrong thing. But the medical mafia and their medical licensing boards comes after any doctor in the States that steps out of the box. So you have to make a choice of either doing the right thing and following the Hippocratic Oath or becoming a hypocrite and actually making people sick and killing them. And unfortunately, most doctors take the easy way out.
Well, and Dr. Banks, it seems like we are exporting this model to other countries, including South Africa, including India. In other words, this model for GlaxoSmithKline and Merck and the rest of it, and this whole model of allopathic poisoning that's going on seems to be the order of the day for medicine. Am I correct?
Well, when they talk about globalization, this is exactly what they're talking about. So they intend to have this pattern throughout the entire planet. And make no mistake, when people talk about globalization, these are exactly the things they're talking about. But the other thing is that historically, the Rockefeller cartel took over the medical schools at the turn of the last century.
Yeah.
So doctors, for the first 2 years, they do learn basic science, but they promptly go into clinics and they forget that science and they're just taught how to give drugs. And it becomes a habit and they stop thinking about the basic science. And the other thing is, as you know now, that the FDA has pretty much been taken over by the drug companies, and so many of the drug companies are doing their own research, and they're allowed to hide research. So a lot of the research that doctors would rely on in order to make a rational decision is not even getting to them.
Yeah. Now, Codex Alimentarius, as well as this new assault that you're reading in your press against organic farms, is going right in the face of our attempts to heal ourselves. You want to speak to that, Dr. Carley? Our ability to heal ourselves is also under assault, is it not?
Of course it is. And let me just mention, there's an excellent book, The Medical Mafia, by a Canadian physician, Dr. Guylaine Lang-Tote, L-A-N-C-T-O-T, which gives the history that Dr. Banks was referring to in an excellent fashion. But of course, we must have organic food that's grown in good soil. I mean, we are what we eat. And that's the only way that we can keep our bodies healthy. And it's becoming so obvious that they're not only going against organic farmers, but they're trying to take our supplements away from us. It's totally insane. And as an indication of where the medical schools are at this point, I went to medical school in the early 80s. We had 10 hours of nutrition and 2 years of pharmacology. That's all we learn is drugs. And I can remember a specific clerkship I did in pediatrics where we were told that if a patient comes in and you don't give them a prescription, they're going to feel like they didn't get proper service. Of course, that word allopathic, which means covering up of symptoms instead of getting to the root of the disease, I never learned that word allopathic in medical school. I never learned the word homeopathy in medical school. And what you were saying before as far as us spreading our insane medical practices all over the world, I first learned of homeopathy from a friend of mine who's from India. And even in India, now the Western doctors have pretty much totally taken over. So this practice of medicine is spreading like a plague. And that is, in fact, what's causing this terrible death and disease. But, of course, that's how Big Pharma makes their money. And as people are dying off, that goes along with their population control agenda.
Now, Dr. Banks, you had an event in your life that forced you to take a look at your personal health practices and your own nutrition and everything. What kind of awakening did you have, and what kind of solutions did you discover, and what kind of maintenance solutions are you presently using in order to bolster the solutions you found? Because I know cancer people are facing cancer in record numbers around the globe from every type of cancer. I mean, pancreatic and lung and I mean, it's sarcomas, and I mean, it's the list goes on, and it's growing. In other words, this is environmentally generated. What did you do, and what was your discovery as a physician?
Well, again, the thing that they try to get you to not think about, and they even tell the oncologist, is when people are taking the anti-cancer drugs, make sure your patients don't take antioxidants because the drugs may not work as well. Well, of course, if you're taking antioxidants, you actually might survive those drugs. And so I basically didn't listen to what they said. I just did what I had to do, what my heart told me was the right thing to do. And as I started reading the literature, I realized that they weren't telling the truth again. And this is a problem, another problem, you know, because sometimes the doctors are at fault, but sometimes they're overwhelmed with busyness, and they are not reading the literature. And one of the things that happens is they're depending, because they've been trained that these drug reps from these pharmaceutical companies are reputable and will give them accurate information, and they don't. They just give them information in order to sell those drugs. And that's not clear. If you're a young person and you're in medical school and you're starry-eyed and you want to do the right thing, you trust people. And I think what happens is that all you have to do is be burnt by these pharmaceutical companies a few times, because as a female doctor, I just saw that they were targeting women right and left, and they were targeting them with really terrible drugs. And the drugs, for example, they were trying to sell people on taking estrogen. They wanted everybody on estrogen. And they tried to say that if you took estrogen, it was going to help you with your blood pressure, and it was going to help you with this and that. And a few years later, of course, it did not help you with your high blood pressure. It did not help you with your cholesterol. It created an increase in breast cancer and several other cancers. And so this is how they sell products, and they don't even care. They just tell you what they want to tell you until it falls apart, and then they move on.
Well, let's talk again, though. I mean, I heard also from a Swedish study, I believe it was Sweden, they often come up with some of the best information to save us all, that deodorants that are popularly advertised on television are very, very damaging to the immune system. In fact, they're full of aluminum. And one of the things that we've talked about from the beginning of this discussion tonight was that heavy metals, including aluminum, are one of the things that you want to keep out of your body. And in fact, when you place them in the areas of your underarms and such, you're actually putting them in a place where it can be best absorbed into your body, thus causing the most damage. Is that a fair statement to make, Dr. Carley?
Right, right. Not only that,
yes.
Brassieres as well.
Yes, and let me also state
funny,
that antiperspirants are even worse, because one of the ways that our body eliminates toxins is through our sweat. And I've been detoxifying
right.
myself for about 11 years now, and my sweat does not have an odor. And so if you're detoxified, you don't have to worry about any odor from your sweat. But if you're using an antiperspirant to actually stop you from sweating, then you're actually stopping your body from eliminating the toxins. So the preparations are toxic in themselves, as you said, not just aluminum, but all kinds of chemicals as well. And then when you go to the next level and stop the perspiration, then you're not only putting more toxins in, but you're preventing your body from having one of the main mechanisms to push the toxins out.
Well, what we found, and ladies, and I'm going to go to all three of you on this one, what we found is that the companies that run, the people that run the drug companies, both at the leadership level and the ownership level, are from a pro-Zionist bent. They call them neocons. They can call them a lot of things, but they're pro-Zionist. You see companies also involved in makeup ownership, like L'Oreal, owned by Zionist interests, as well as Max Factor, as well as many others. In other words, things that we're putting as preparation on our skin that